I have written on the board three words: hearing God's voice. We'll start off with saying that truly we live in challenging times. By that, I mean this. There's a lot of noise and commotion out there, is there not? I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that we truly are living in the last days. The scriptures bear that out. Speaking of the wars, rumors of wars, pestilences and all these things, persecutions and famines and all these things that, well, they're taking place. And the love of many are waxing cold. That's again, you see that happen around us. But especially, and I emphasize this many times because this is where we live, our environment, our American culture, we'll just hone in on that alone. Where we live here in America, there's a lot of commotion, a lot of noise out there to drown out, so to speak, God's voice. To drown out from hearing God's voice. Well, and it goes beyond that. Yes, there is all the political upheaval. There's the economical troubles. There's all these other, all kinds of new diseases and new things that are coming up with every year, it seems like. Oh, well, this is a new type of disease, or this is a new type of sickness or whatever. And you're like, wow, well, and then there's the droughts, and there's people losing their homes. There's people, there is a, if you could say, a falling apart of the American family right before our eyes. And the government is encouraging that in a sense. And they're rewarding those that basically want to leave their families, leave their children. But I'm thinking, that's not God's plan. And all these other troubles that are coming in, then not only do they have the sicknesses, they have the pains, they have the grief and the disappointments, then sometimes to reach out and to squelch and try to take away that pain and suffering, then they drown themselves into other things to try to deal with the troubles and the sorrows that they're experiencing. They drown themselves in, as we all know, the drugs and the alcohol. And just here in our area, meth is a big thing. But it goes beyond that. The prescription drugs, all these other things that people get in bondage to. And then it goes even further than that. Some people, they will, if you could say, they will busy themselves by staying busy. You understand what I'm saying? Where it just seems like the cares of life. There's so many things going on. I got to go here. I got to go do that. And we're just staying busy all the time, where the cares of life, if we can remember the parable Jesus spoke of, can choke out the word of the Lord, can choke out hearing God's voice. And it may not even be that we're going out and committing sin, but sometimes we can get so caught up in everyday life that we can't hear God's voice. But again, this is where we live, is it not? A lot of noise. We'll say it this way. There's a lot of folks out there, we'll say folks that listen to the devil, that they try to promote the cause of the devil. It's a lot, you don't see the devil walking into someone's house or to someone's workplace or into the chapel or to wherever. And so you don't see the devil walking in there with this pitchfork and with these horns and with this evil little grin and laugh walking around that he's going to go try to take care of his whatever situation, try to stir up trouble. No, he uses individuals that give themselves over to hearing the devil's voice, all right? To hearing and giving in to his inspirations, all right? So we have the devil trying on this side. Remember here in the message at Monarch, the voices, the two voices, okay? Well, that is real. That is life. But the key is hearing God's voice. That's what we want to talk about this morning. I'll give another example, and this is just one out of many we could use. How that over the course of time, it's as if we, and not just Americans, it's others in the world too, but it's as if the general populace, they get so bored with the same old, same old. It's like, give us something new and exciting. Something more far out. Something really weird and crazy. You see what I'm saying? That it's like we get so bored with just the same old, you know, well, that's just old stuff, you know. Well, one example is they've done some studies and obviously it's not too hard to realize this, that compared to 50, 60 years or so ago, well, say like when the television and the movies were first becoming prevalent, they were in black and white, and even the first ones, there was no sound. But eventually they added sound, eventually added color, and then it kind of stalemated for a while. But it's as if that wasn't enough. They started adding things like, well, just nowadays, the present tense is, they do things to where the camera, it's like the screen never stays still. You know, the olden days, there's the black and white, and it was just a basic, you know, just watching one scene for several minutes, and finally it'll change and go to another scene. Just people going back and forth, doing whatever. And it's kind of boring, kind of monotonous. That's all there was to it. But nowadays, they have, it's like the cameras are constantly moving. The scenes are changing, and you're zooming in and out. They're making you go in spirals. They're doing all kinds of things, and all kinds of extra noise, the sound effects and everything, trying to keep people's attention. That's what it's all about. And I look at it this way. It's almost like the devil tries to do that with us. Okay? It's like the devil wants to stir up issues over here and stir up things over here and make you question this and make you concerned about this over here. And maybe the real focus should be on ourselves. You see what I'm saying? Where there's all this commotion and noise and all these other things without. And yet we're not hearing God's voice because it's being drowned out by all the things in our environment. Well, I want to remind us of a story. We've shared this story before, but we're going to go in a little different direction. It's the story of Elijah. You'll pray for us. Elijah, I don't want to take time to go over the whole career of Elijah, but truly he had an interesting career in being God's mouthpiece, being a prophet of God. And you remember the encounter he had with Ahab and Jezebel. And the kingdom of Israel at that time was not doing so well, especially in a spiritual sense. Basically, they were following the gods of Balaam, serving Baal, and instead of serving God. And this was obviously troubling to the Lord, and the Lord wanted to somehow get a message to His people, get a message across to them that this is serious. You know, I've basically hand-carried you from out of Egypt for all these, you know, hundreds of years and been providing for you, caring for you. Anytime you would turn your heart toward me, I would help you and assist you through all these things and fight your battles. And here again, they're turning to some other gods. And this was disappointing to the Lord. Well, he sends Elijah. Elijah has a job, has a commission. He wants Elijah to come deal with the children of Israel. So they go up to Mount Carmel, and there's basically a contest there that's taking place between the prophets of Baal and their God versus Elijah and his God. And they make these altars to the prophets, and They're praying, they're crying, they're pleading for Baal to answer, to do something. Well, nothing happened. And then eventually Elijah ends up kind of mocking them a little bit, saying, call upon the name of your gods. Maybe they're asleep, or maybe they're just not paying attention. And cry louder. Well, they did, and then they would start cutting themselves, doing all kinds of things, trying to get the attention of their God. It never happened. Then Elijah gets his opportunity. And not only does he have the sacrifice and the stones there built, but he pours water upon it and builds a trough around it, water all around it. And then he prays the prayer. And let's turn and read this in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. And this is where this took place. In verse 36, 18 and 36, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." They got the message. They got the picture here. And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal and let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Well, that was a mighty victory, was it not? God proved Himself in such a mighty way that there was no doubt who the true and living God was. And that the children of Israel, they realized it too. And so did the prophets of Baal. But too bad for them, they perished. But here it is, Elijah. Of course, it was the divine inspiration of God and the power of God that allowed this to take place. Elijah was just a vessel. And then you remember the rest of the story. You read the rest of this chapter. And Ahab, here's the interesting part. Ahab goes back to Jezebel. And does he say anything about the God of Israel did such and such? No. He goes back and tells Jezebel what Elijah has done, okay? Because he knew he could say it in such a way to get Jezebel stirred up. And sure enough, she did. And truly blamed Elijah and saying, "This is what Elijah has done." Well, this really stirred up some vengeance within Jezebel, did it not? Well, then later she said, when Ahab had told Jezebel, it says in the first verse of chapter 19, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.'" And I want to tell you something. To me, that's noise and commotion, is it not? That's a threat from someone that's already been proven that God is in control. But isn't that just like Satan? Just when we get the victory over something, then here comes Satan slithering along behind the scenes and is trying to put a different perspective, shed a different light on it, and to make you look like you're the bad one, so to speak. And to make you feel like you're the guilty. And here Elijah's saying, "Well, yeah, the prophets were slain, but that was God's command." Elijah was following God's command. And here it is, Jezebel trying to put the blame on Elijah when it was really God. Because here's the truth of the matter. She dare not blame God because God might do the same thing to her. You see what I'm saying? But she's using Elijah as the one to pick on, so to speak. We know that's just what the devil does sometimes. What the devil will come along and he'll just pick at us and say, "Well, look at what," and to make us feel bad, and then to spread fear among us, and to fear and intimidation, and kind of to cower down and kind of back away from when God just got through performing this miracle. But that's the noise and the commotion the devil loves. Just after a victory, then he wants to come in and just stir it all up again. Say, "Ah, you really don't have it." Let me tell you something. That's exactly what happened. Because look what Elijah did after this. It says, "And when he saw that," this is Elijah, "he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there." Elijah was scared. He was getting out of there. But it's all because the devil caused Jezebel to stir the pot again. But if Elijah would have just stopped, maybe right then, as he's walking out the door, so to speak, he's telling the servant, he probably didn't tell the servant, "Bye," he just left. So scared and so desperate, "I'm out of here." But I wonder if Elijah would have just stopped and was like, "Well, Lord, what do you want me to do?" But Elijah allowed that commotion and that noise to get him all stirred up where he could not hear. Perhaps God was trying to tell him something as he was running, "Elijah, Elijah," and just brrr, he's gone. He couldn't hear God's voice because all this was clouding his mind. All this was disturbing his peace. And he couldn't handle it. And he's gone. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in that situation. Let's be honest with ourselves. Have we not all been there before? Because we're human. God knows that we're human. And sometimes we do just like Elijah did. We've had a victory here and the devil comes along and poof, where'd it go? Well, God's still in control. Because that's not the end of the story. But notice what Elijah does. He runs from this. And then, in verse 4, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. That's it, you know. And how many times have we felt like that? You're thinking, Lord, I've done this and I've done that and I've done this. And then I get a victory and then here comes the devil and he just kind of ruins it all. And then it's like, is it really worth it? That's what Elijah's basically saying. Is it really worth it? I want to tell you something. I believe God was trying to speak to him the whole time. And God finally got an opportunity to slip a word in edgewise. Because look what happens here. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Isn't that wonderful? God sent a meal. Because I believe Elijah left so quickly, he didn't take provisions with him. He was desperate just to get out of there. And so he finds himself out in this wilderness all by himself, thinking there's no one else around here serving the Lord. All the other prophets of God have been taken out. I'm the only one alone here. That's what he was saying here in this chapter. And he's saying, it's enough. This is it. I'm done. I'm finished. And the Lord, he's like, no, you're not. And he sent an angel to provide some food for him. And he looked and behold, there was a cake baking on coals and a cruse of water at his head. God made a meal for him. The servant was not with Elijah. He left him at the house. Who did this for Elijah? God did. Isn't that wonderful? And he arose and he ate. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. He caused him to get up again, eat again, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Now that's an interesting point there. Do you realize God had a plan all along, you see? Perhaps God knew that, because he'd been watching Elijah, and perhaps God knew that this might happen, you know? And I don't think God was just totally surprised that Elijah ran from Jezebel. And God's thinking, okay, you can't handle anymore, you're gone. You've ran. And I see the Lord saying, okay, well, I haven't forgot about you. I'll take time and I'll come visit you again. Now, God wasn't speaking to him here necessarily, but through divine inspiration, providence of God, he sent an angel and ministered to Elijah, provided some food for him, woke him up, said, hey, rise and eat. The journey's long, okay? It was as if God was preparing him, okay, there is a way back here, but the Lord's saying, it's going to be a journey. And I want to teach you a lesson. And while I'm teaching you this lesson, I want you to know that I will provide everything. I'll provide every need that you have. That's what the Lord was trying to get across to Elijah here, I believe. But again, God wasn't really speaking to him yet. He was just working with him, putting things in his pathway to help him, to direct him. But you know, Elijah, even though he went to the wilderness, you can't really run from God. You remember the scripture in Psalms 139 and 7. I want to turn and read that real quick. Psalms 139 and 7. It says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You see, God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. He sees all things. He's in all places at all times. There's nothing you can hide from him. But Elijah ran. But the encouraging thing is, God didn't run off from Elijah. God was with Elijah on Mount Carmel. God was with Elijah out in the wilderness. So that's what I want us to get a hold of this morning. If we have ran from God in a situation, and we feel like we have failed, and we feel like there's no hope, and we're like, this is it. Take courage that God is right there where you're at too. God hasn't forgot about you. It wasn't like Elijah was turning his back on God and blaspheming God and saying, God, that really didn't happen. And I regret that I was a part of that. That wasn't what was in Elijah's heart. It was just he got afraid and he ran because he's human. But God did not forget him. Well, again, we can't run from God. But here is what the Lord was doing. The Lord had a plan. And this started a journey. He allowed him to eat these two meals. He said, the journey is great. And he went 40 days and 40 nights walking. And here's the interesting thing. Notice where Elijah ends up. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, and for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. God already knew all that. Elijah didn't have to tell. But God asked a question. But God didn't really have to ask the question. He was asking the question for Elijah's sake. He's wanting Elijah to tell him his heart. You see what I'm saying? And that's what, basically, for these 40 days and these 40 nights, Elijah is walking. And notice where he ends up. He ends up at Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. That's where Moses got the Ten Commandments from God 400 or 500 years prior to this. So it's as if in his spirit, Elijah is desperate to hear God's voice. Elijah is desperate to get back in a position where, Lord, I want to be used of you. I want more victory in my life. But he knew that this had to come about by way of suffering and denying self. So for 40 days, he's fasting and praying, seeking God, and walking towards a place that he's familiar with, where he knows God's presence has dwelt before on Mount Horeb, where God sent his presence down and gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. So it's as if in his spirit, he's like, I know the journey's great, but I'm so desperate, Lord, for your presence. I'm so interested in finding your voice again, to hear from you again. I'm willing to do whatever. Okay? So it's not saying that for you and I, that if we want to hear God's voice, we have to do what Elijah did and walk for 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying. That's not what it's saying. But take this number 40 again, that's used multiple times in the Word of God, as a complete whole number. There's closure, so it's as if whatever it takes in our lives individually for God to give us, to get us to a point where we can hear His voice, we need to be willing to go all the way through and not stop. You realize that Elijah could have went 20 days and he's like, I'm not hearing the Lord. And Elijah could have just stopped and said, well, it's not worth it, and turn around. He had to complete, he had to go all the way with the Lord, proving his earnestness, his sincereness in this, that I am serious about my soul. I want the Lord to speak to me again. Okay? Elijah was desperate. But he had to be alone. He had to be away from all the commotion. He had to be away from all the noise. Removed from that, to where he was given an opportunity and striving to get to a place where, Lord, I know you've been faithful to these people, to the children of Israel before. I'm going to go to Mount Horeb, okay? I'm going to go where I know God's presence has been. So he's proven himself serious in this. Well, God wasn't going to let him down. God was watching all this. God had this planned out, so to speak. He's allowing, Elijah still had to make that choice. But God is like, okay, you make that choice, you make that decision, then I'm going to provide something over here. And he provided strength for 40 days and 40 nights just off of two meals. That's a miracle in itself. You realize that's what God can do with us too? That there's times in our lives we're thinking, how did I get here? And we look back in hindsight and we realize that the Lord carried us during that time. we weren't really in our hearts. We're like, oh Lord, I'm not running from you. I'm trying to run toward you. I want to hear your voice. And the Lord heard that. And the Lord, He's not going to forsake us. He's like, okay, child, I'm with you. And in the end, we're looking back. We're like, well, how did I get you? And truly, no doubt Elijah, after the end of those 40 days and 40 nights, he's thinking, how did I do this? It was the power of God sustaining him. We can have that same access to the power of God to sustain us in that waiting period to hear God's voice. Because God was fixing to speak. It was as if he was testing Elijah. Do you really mean it? Do you really want to hear from me? And Elijah's saying, yes, I'm going all the way. 40 days and 40, the complete picture, so to speak, is what we have in mind here. So, that's what Elijah did. So the Lord spoke to him, verse 11, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. See, again, it's as if the Lord was trying Elijah again to send some more pizzazz, some more commotion, some more noise to see if that's what was going to get Elijah excited again. But Elijah didn't, that first time, the earthquake, no. Then there was, or the wind, then there was the earthquake. You realize Elijah could have, after that, the wind and the earthquake, saying, what are you trying to do, Lord? Is this all there is to it? And he could have packed his bags and left right then. When victory was just right there, God was just fixing to speak to him, and he could have given up right at the last. Say, nope, I went these 40 days and 40 nights. God's provided this for me, and now he sends the wind, he sends the earthquake, and that's it. And then, okay, one more chance, a third time. Then he sends the fire, and God still doesn't speak to him. And Elijah goes, well, okay, I'm for sure. I'm packing my bags. I'm out of here. I'm gone. But Elijah didn't do that. He hung on. Let me tell you, dear ones, that's what it's going to take to make it to heaven. That's what it's going to take to hear God's voice in our lives. We're going to have to hang on and persevere like Elijah was doing here. I don't know what the time span was, but no doubt Elijah was very anxious. Like, come on, you know. And we can get very impatient, can we not? Again, that's the environment we live in. That it promotes impatience. We got to have everything right now, right now, right now. But Elijah, no, he was willing to wait. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I'm not moving until you speak to me. And then it says here, and after the fire, a still small voice. Thank the Lord. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that still small voice. I wonder what God said. I don't know. Maybe God just whispered, Elijah, Elijah. I don't know what God said. But he got his attention. And Elijah's like, I'm all ears. And the Lord said, and when he heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, just out of respect, and went out and stood in the entering in the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, same question as before. And what doest thou here, Elijah? You realize Elijah didn't change his story. He was still, this is where I'm at. In other words, he's saying, I'm still human, I'm still flesh, and I still have these feelings. I still have this frustration of how they treated me back there. The Lord just wanted to hear it again. God already knew the answers. And so Elijah told him. He says, I'm the only one left now. And they seek my life. And the Lord said unto him, this is what Elijah was wanting right here. It's as if it was enough for the Lord to be interested and to show and to provide all these, to give him the strength to go these 40 days and for the Lord to perform these miracles with the earthquakes and the fire and the wind. And that was great. And then the still small voice and God saying, I'm still here, Elijah. And that was awesome. But Elijah wanted more. So he continued to hang around for more. And here's where the Lord told him what to do. Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And it goes on down here, and later, he goes and anoints Elisha to be his helper. Basically, Elijah was going to be a mentor to Elisha to raise up another prophet in his place. You see, God wasn't through with Elijah. You know, sometimes the devil will whisper to you after you've maybe had a failure like Elijah, where you ran from the Lord and you were scared, you were afraid. And the devil would like to come up and tell you, you're worthless. You're trash. God doesn't want you anymore. Let me tell you something. That's the voice of the devil. Because not once did God's voice tell Elijah that. Oh, I'm sure God could have poured out some fury on Elijah and just told him how it was. Well, you little weakling, you wimp, why did you do that? God didn't do that. He first sent an angel and fed him. He's going to take care of him. Then he gave him strength for 40 days and 40 nights. And he did all these things just for Elijah. Isn't that awesome? If we find ourselves in Elijah's position, don't be alarmed, don't be afraid. God's still going to hear your prayers. God's still looking at, he's looking to see how sincere are you. Are you willing to turn your back on the Lord right at the last when victory's just right around the corner? But here it is, Elijah stuck it out. You know, it reminds me of a set of scriptures in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Let's turn and read that real quick. Jeremiah 31. This is talking about God's people again. Jeremiah 31, verses 2 and 3. And thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause them to rest. And the Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, have I loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You see what that's saying here? It was the loving kindness of the Lord that allowed and led Elijah, once he made that commitment that he was leaving and running for his life, the Lord saying, okay, I'm going to make a plan here for you to come back. There's still, that's what the whole message of the gospel here this morning is, hope. In other words, he's saying, there's still hope for you, Elijah. There's still a way back. I have a plan for you, and with loving kindness, I'm going to draw you back to me. That's exactly what the Lord was doing here with God's people and with Elijah. With loving kindness have I drawn thee onto a path that I'm going to be with you every step of the way. There may be times where you may feel lonely. There may be times where you're going to feel the heat of the sun, so to speak, the dryness and the weariness. But keep walking. Keep walking. Keep trying. Don't give up, because victory's just around the bend, so to speak. And to get to a place. See, this is the whole crux of the matter here. There's times in our lives we get so desperate to hear God's voice. And why is that? Because we've heard God's voice before. You see what I'm saying? Elijah had heard God's voice before. When he was up on Mount Carmel, God spoke with more than just his voice. He spoke with action. He performed a miracle there. And Elijah needed deliverance, because you realize if God wouldn't have answered like he did with fire and burned that up, that altar, that Elijah would have been the one killed instead of the prophets of Baal. Do you realize that? But God spoke. He answered in a mighty way, because Elijah needed deliverance. And that's the same thing that's happened to you. That's why we're here today. God has delivered us, okay? And we remember what God has done for us. And so we come up to another obstacle, another mountain. Whether it's in the flesh, we run from our troubles or whatever the case is, because we're afraid or we don't understand. God understands. And He wants to help us again. So the key is, we remember hearing God's voice before, and we want to hear God's voice again in our lives. To speak to that mountain, to be removed and cast into the sea. But let me tell you what, it's going to take faith. That's what the scripture says. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain, it'll be cast into the sea. It's not talking in a literal sense, it's talking about whatever obstacle is in your path. Whatever's hindering your faith, whatever's causing you doubt. God wants to speak to that and cast it into That's hearing God's voice. That's what Elijah was desperate for. And let me tell you something, dear ones, with all the noise and commotion around us today, we have to hear God's voice or we're going to perish. Okay? Well, again, God has a master plan for each and every one of our lives. But the key was that still small voice. You know, sometimes we have to get still and quiet long enough that we can hear that still small voice. God speaking, it may be just through our conscience. God giving us this little gentle nudge through His Holy Spirit saying, you need to do this, or you need to not do that, or you need to go whatever it is. And if we're still long enough, God's going to give us the grace and the strength, just like He did Elijah, to persevere through all of that. And Elijah got the victory. And Elijah went back and he carried out those tasks. And let me tell you something. Elijah meant so much to the Lord. And I'm not saying this is for everyone, that we're all going to be in Elijah's situation here. But God was the one that took Elijah. What did He do? Took him up in a fiery chariot. Elijah didn't die a typical death. He didn't die. God just took him up in a chariot. He was a man of God. He proved that he wanted to hear God's voice. And he persevered all the way through and was willing to mentor Elisha when he was older. And he's like, well, isn't my work done? I perform, you know, with the Lord's help, perform that miracle back on Mount Carmel. And the Lord's saying, nope, I'm not through with you. I first want to teach you a lesson. Then I want you to go do some more work for me. You know, the Lord is not going to take us before He's finished with us. God still had work for Elijah to do. And it goes with the same way. Sometimes we give up on ourselves when God hasn't given up on us, because we're still here. That means there's still hope. We're on this side of eternity. There's still hope. That's the whole message of the gospel. Well, reminds me of the scripture in Isaiah 30. We'll close with this scripture. Because sometimes, like I mentioned earlier, there's so many voices out there in the world that will try to confuse us. You remember the scripture that says God is not the author of confusion? If you feel confused about something, just stop, stand still, let God move. But in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 19 through 21, it says, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. And when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. That's exactly what the Lord was doing with Elijah. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. You see, that's what Elijah was feeling here. He is feeling persecuted, afflicted. Someone's after him for his life. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. That's what the Lord wants to do with each and every one of us. He wants to be that word behind us, so to speak, whispering in our ears, this is the way. That still small voice that He spoke to Elijah, I want you to go do this. I want you to go do that. I want you to go ask forgiveness here. I want you to go love this person over here. I want you to go write this letter over here. I want you to go give up this over here. Whatever it is, the Lord wants to speak to you. And I want you to go work for me over in this corner of your life, so to speak. Like, oh Lord, I've never done that before. Well, you know, Elijah had never anointed someone like Elisha before. Elijah never done that. But the Lord said, I want you to go do it. I want you to go be His mentor. And Elijah's like, okay. But isn't that wonderful? When the Lord brings something new to your life, a challenge, a new territory, is like, oh Lord, I've never been here before. But if we listen to God's voice, He's not going to confuse us with all this noise and ruckus and everything and all these other voices and all this commotion, but stand still long enough to hear that still small voice. Let me tell you the proof of why Elijah, not only did he go out and do what God told him to do, but Elijah was through running. You see what I'm saying? That gave him the peace and contentment. God spoke to him. God spoke to his life. God spoke to his situation. And Elijah said, I got it, Lord. And that's enough. Before he was saying, take my life. It is enough. You see what I'm saying? Now the contrast is, Lord, I got the message. I hear your voice. And I'm content with that. I have peace with that. There's no confusion. And I'm willing to do it. And he went back and did what the Lord told him to do. Isn't that wonderful? When we hear God's voice, whether speaking to our troubles, speaking to our mountains, and sometimes it's those things that are in our hearts and our minds, we can have mountains in our minds, so to speak, that, Lord, I can never get over that. And Lord's saying, but with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe that God can do this? That you can hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Because I want to tell you something, the end of this way, the end of hearing God's voice, the end of that is heaven. And we can all make it there, just like Elijah did. We may not make it in a fiery chariot like Elijah, but there can come a day we can ride to glory with victory, with a ticket in our hand that Jesus paid the price. That Jesus is the one, through His Holy Spirit, that can speak to us when we're wandering around that wilderness, and He can get our lives back on track and in God's plan and lead us all the way to glory by His still small voice. You pray for me that I would listen to His still small voice.